Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio. Intriguing programs you want, information you need.
And here we are. Welcome, one and all, or both of you, as the case may be, to the Jeff Bushman Experience. We are back. It is live, December 28th, 6:30 Eastern, and 4:30 Mountain and 3:30 Pacific. I've left off Central, not deliberate. 5:30 p.m. there. Hello and welcome. Today we are going to discuss, among other things, this week in history, the economy and its current status, and the worst report of a study that McDonald's and its brethren could possibly get. Before we go into all that, I wanted to first invite you to a spot where we do some writing and talk about what's happening on the radio show and with writing and books and all the rest of that. And that site would be bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. So if you would be kind enough to go there, not during the show, wait until later, and you can then rather read some of the things we've written, some of it political, some of it non-political. But in any event, you can read some things there. And if you're interested in shopping at Amazon, we have a little affiliate situation there where you can click on Amazon, go make your purchases as normal, don't pay any extra, and they'll throw a few shekels our way. In the meantime, you can also find through that site our books, which are up on Amazon as ebooks. One of them is a compilation of the columns we write for we being I, of course, that's the royal we, that I write for Scottsdale Health Magazine, which is on the subject of, let's just say, adult relationships, in case there are any children listening. And the one of the other books is on mobile home investment, and the third one that's up there right now is the mystery novel Bobby's Been Shot. I say third and right now because we are in the process of preparing another book that is done in terms of its writing on the subject of healthy eating and weight loss, which is tentatively titled Be Healthy, Lose Weight. Any of those things you can find at Amazon.com or through the site bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. Okay, let's talk about this week in history. Many of you know this, of course, I'm sure, but today is the anniversary of the birth of one of our presidents, by our here. This is not the royal hour. I'm referring to the United States, which I mention only because, as some of our domestic listeners do not know, we also have people listening from different places around the world. And so if you would like to let us know that, by the way, that you are calling from elsewhere, or listening from elsewhere, I should say, please feel free to let us know that, and of any other things you'd like to talk to us about, domestically or internationally. You can do that at our email address, which is tjbradio, T as in Tom, J as in John, B as in boy, tjbradio@gmail.com. In any event, I was referring to the U.S. presidents. One of them was born on this date, and I'll come back to that so you can try and guess who it was, but here the clue is he was born in 1856, and it's probably a later president than you're thinking of. Okay. In any event, on this day in history, in 1832, when I say this day, I'm referring to December 28th, the day on which we broadcast this show live. If you're listening to this in podcast form, clearly you wouldn't otherwise know that. On this date in 1832, saying that he had political differences with President Andrew Jackson and also that he wanted to try to fill a vacant Senate seat in the U.S. Senate from South Carolina, John C. Calhoun became the first vice president in U.S. history to resign. He later, by the way, tried to get the state of and was successful in getting the state of South Carolina to resign from the United States. He was a primary advocate of South Carolina seceding from the Union and got his way. Before we get back to that president, today is also the birthday of someone who's living. Actor Denzel Washington was born in 1954 on December 28th, and also born on this date, but in 1905, was Cliff Arquette. Cliff Arquette may not be a name that's familiar to anybody anymore, although he was the father and grandfather of some popular actresses now, the Arquettes. But he was also known by his character name that he played on Hollywood Squares and on the Jack Parr Show, if you're old enough to remember that. Cliff Arquette was also known as Charlie Weaver. He was also an author and turns out a composer. And that's basically, one other birthday on this date. In 1908, Lou Ayres was born. Lou Ayres played in a series of movies based on the character Dr. Kildare, including Young Dr. Kildare, which is one of them. He also starred in the movie All Quiet on the Western Front. And also on this date, December 28th, but in 1941, U.S. Rear Admiral, who would have been a proctologist given a choice, Ben Moreal, requested the authority of the Navy to create a contingent of construction units that would be able to build anything during battlefield conditions. Basically, they were the construction people. He got permission from that. They became known as the Construction Battalion, the initials of which were CB, and they became known ever after as the Seabees. The president who was born on this date in 1856, Woodrow Wilson, whose legal first name was Thomas, but that's another story for another day. Also, by the way, speaking of trivial matters like that, at the site I gave you a moment ago, bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, we frequently, and this includes the most recent entry we did earlier in the week, we have some trivia questions that you'll have an opportunity to answer. There's no prize except the knowledge that you know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about if you guess right. Several questions, some of which are political. Most of them are. Okay, so let's talk about the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy, it was reported, in the third quarter, consumer and business spending increased, and the gross domestic product grew at a 5% annual rate for the quarter, which ran from July through September of 2014. First, let me explain gross domestic product. Most people think they know what it means, and some do. The gross domestic product is the dollar expression, that is, what is the amount of dollars produced, is the amount of dollar production in the I think we may have a caller, but no, we don't have a caller. I heard a noise. I don't know what that was. Anyway, it's the amount of dollars produced in goods and services in the country. So if you take, let's say, your widget shop, it produces $1,000 worth of goods and services. That goes into the total gross domestic product and the economy. And the gross domestic product expressed in dollars reflects how well the economy is doing. So that's pretty much that. The effect. By the way, I don't know if we're having a problem with the sound here, but I'm seeing a couple of things that make me think maybe we are. And if so, I apologize if we're not coming through clearly. In any event, the gross domestic product, as reported, 5% annual rate from July through September. And again, that doesn't mean we grew 5% between July and September. It means if you take the figure 5% and divide it by 4, which is 1.25%, for those of you who are keeping track, that means that the economy grew at 1.25%. But if you annualize that, which is a lot for 3 months, if you annualize that, it would come out to 5%. Okay. That had been originally estimated at 3.9%, but after they revise it, which they do with every quarter's numbers, it turned out that instead of 3.9%, which they'd originally estimated, it was 5% annual growth. And the previous quarter was in excess of 4%. So all in all, the economy is doing pretty well. It's also expected, because of all of the consumer spending and the fact that a good deal of that spending is happening in areas other than energy, more specifically gasoline. Gas prices are low, which means, first off, people feel more confident about the economy and they're more willing to spend money. And when they do spend money, they'll be spending it on other things, such as refrigerators, cars, etc., that obviously creates jobs. Speaking of creating jobs, we made mention of this on our Facebook page yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, perhaps the day before. There was a cartoon which gave rise to this point. They were saying that if we lower taxes on the wealthy, it'll create jobs. I don't know how many of you have been employers, but I have been. And right now I don't employ anybody, but I've done it in the past and will in the future. And I will tell you that to say that cutting taxes creates jobs because it puts money in the hands of companies that will hire people is complete nonsense. You're welcome to disagree, but let me point out to you that if, as an employer, as the owner of a business, if I am thinking about hiring someone, I'm thinking about hiring someone because I believe that they will earn for my company more than I pay them. Or they will free my time up enough by doing a task that they're better at than I am so I can go make more money for the company. Okay? That's it. And I'll do that if I have a tax break or I don't, because obviously it's in my economic interest to do that. So if you want to give me $100,000 and I don't need anyone to, I don't need to hire anyone for that business because things are going along at the right pace with just me or with my present employees, I'm not going to hire anybody. Okay? If I want to hire somebody, I'll do it with or without a tax break. That's the reason people hire someone. If you give someone a $100,000 tax break, they're not going to go hire somebody just because they've got this extra money. There's nothing for them to do or nothing for them to be productive with. Why would you bother? Put the $100,000 in your pocket. Okay. So that basically was talking about these two quarters. By the way, that track record, those two quarters of growth being 5% and 4%, those will not be equaled again in the first in the fourth quarter, which hasn't been reported on yet, and first quarter of 2014, and the first quarter, I'm sorry, the fourth quarter of 2014 and the first quarter of 2015. It's just not going to happen because that kind of growth can't really be sustained for a long period. Just not, and if it, and if you do get those kind of numbers, frankly, is dangerous and is a sign of rising inflation. And on one of these programs in the future, we'll talk about when inflation will exist and when it won't. But part of that relates to the question of when you have full employment and full utilization of factories. We're not there yet. In fact, we're not there by a long stretch. The cheaper gasoline, though, is making a big difference. Unemployment is down to a low. I mentioned gas prices being low. I think I may have said this on last week's show, but it just demonstrates that the Republicans were right. Since we've now built the pipeline and we have started drilling in the Arctic, which they all wanted, and said it would lower gas prices, they were right. Now that we've drilled in the Arctic and we've built the pipeline, gas prices... Oh, we haven't? Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Maybe not. Before we go on to talk about the report that came out about fast food, and if you're a lover of fast food and want to give it to your kids, it's really important you listen to this. But before we do that, I wanted to tell you about another place on the web where you can see some of what we've done, and I invite you to that. Not so much for my ego, although that's partly it, but also because you may find something interesting or worth commenting on at the site where we've written a few articles. And that's at medium.com, not high, not low, but medium. medium.com/@ Jeff Bushman and the Arabic numeral 1. So it's medium.com/@JeffBushman1. At Jeff Bushman 1, by the way, is also how you can follow us on Twitter if you're so inclined. That would be the way to do that, and additional followers there are certainly welcome. We don't write as often as we used to on Twitter, but we do it sometimes, and if you'd like to tag along and perhaps respond, we'd love to see you there. You're welcome to follow at Jeff Bushman 1, and I usually follow the people who follow me. So if you're looking for followers, come on over. But the articles are at medium.com/@JeffBushman1, and we've written on a couple of different things. The most recent article we wrote has to do with our local sheriff here. We are broadcasting from Arizona and specifically Maricopa County, the sheriff of which is Joe Arpaio. As you may have heard, he recently sued President Obama. And the reason he sued the president, besides ego and publicity, was on the theory that what President Obama did with regard to the executive order on immigration was illegal and unconstitutional. The result of that is that Arpaio's suit was dismissed, for failure of standing. The judge said that Arpaio had no standing to bring that lawsuit. In the article at medium.com/@JeffBushman1, we explain a little bit about what standing is and why Arpaio lacks it, not just because we can't stand him. And Arpaio has announced that he's appealing, and there's an obvious line there. And I use it at the article. Anyway, we hope you join us there. Let's talk for a minute about the study that came out with that relates to fast food. If you like fast food, that's your business. And if you like to have your children eat fast food, well, that's, I guess, your business too. But at some point in time, it might, forgive me if this seems overboard, it might be considered child abuse. Let me tell you what the study demonstrated. It was conducted at Ohio State University, and they talk in the report about all of the study methods, which aren't really that important, but they talked to and examined 12,000 students, and these were kids between 5th and 8th grades, talked to them about their eating habits, and then it followed them. There's a whole lot more that they did. And there's also a report that's discussed by a group called Action for Healthy Kids. Anyway, the 50% of the kids reporting said that they ate fast food 1 to 3 times a week. 10% consumed it 4 to 6 times a week. And 10% ate fast food every single bloody day. You can find those numbers at sciencetimes.com. 10% of the kids in 5th to 8th grades, if this study is representative, eat fast food every day. The study demonstrated that those who ate a greater amount of fast food showed lower growth in three academic subjects. Okay, this was math. I'm trying to think. I don't remember. But it was math and science, I think, and English. I'm not sure of that. But in any event, my memory is flawed because I don't eat fast food, I guess. In any event, it's Spiller and it's all around. But the more fast food the kids ate, the lower their academic performance. Okay? Now, the fact is that if you regularly eat these kinds of food, it'll also, in children, younger children, it will slow cognitive development. That is, their ability to do intellectual work and to do a number of coordinated activities in terms of eye, hand, and so forth. Okay? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that the nutrients that lead to growth, such as calcium, vitamin C, iron, zinc, is not present when they eat the high salt, high sugar, high fat foods, and the meals can also lead to a loss of memory. This is highly related to the academic performance. So there it is. Now, I understand fast food is convenient. It's not cheap, but it is convenient. It's convenient especially for parents where you have, for example, either a single parent or a couple that is both of whom are working. I will tell you that there are a number of ways to avoid having to go get fast foods, order pizza, that kind of stuff for the family, even with the single parent or both parents working. We cover some of that in our book that we are doing called Be Healthy, Lose Weight. But since that's not available yet, I will share with you that one of the ways you can do that is to cook a large amount of certain staples that you can then combine for meals. For example, if you cook a batch of brown rice and then you either refrigerate it or freeze it and use it as needed. You can even, by the way, pardon me, you can take raw eggs that are getting close to their expiration date and crack them open into a bag and freeze them. You can do that too, and then use them as, thaw them and use them as necessary. You can even, with regard, I mentioned the brown rice. It should be obvious I'm a vegetarian, but you can do this with meat too. Cook it ahead, refrigerate it. You can add it to the rice. You can add some frozen vegetables or some fresh vegetables. Once you have prepared these things over the weekend, it doesn't take long to put them together in a meal. And as I said, it's pretty easy to do that. It's quick. It's certainly more nutritious. And nutrition is not just related to the things we were talking about with the kids, but that's certainly part of it. One of the things that you will notice if you ever talk to people who are eating more healthily is that they look younger than they would otherwise. The use of fast food is aging, just physically. And if it's showing on the outside of the body, you have to assume it's not doing a whole lot of good on the inside. And the people who eat healthily, let me put it in this way. If you take a group of 10,000, let's just say 1,000, 1,000 vegetarians and 1,000 people who eat a lot of meat, of those people, the 1,000 who are vegetarians will be not only healthier, but they will live longer than the people who are omnivores. All right. Now, if you're not a vegetarian and I am, I can't tell you that I'll live longer than you will, because there are too many variables. But those variables are kind of shaken out when you're involved with a big group. So you say the 1,000 of vegetarians and 1,000 of omnivores, you're going to get a difference. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a vegetarian. What it does mean is that if you know, everything's a matter of degree. If you want to have longer life, better health, there are some things you can do. One, avoid fast foods. Two, you don't have to not eat meat, but kind of, you know, maybe limit your meat. And if you are going to eat meat and if you can afford it, get natural meat, that is naturally raised meat. You can get at places like Whole Foods. Maybe limit your meat dishes to 2, 3, 4, 5 a week instead of 7 days. Two meals every week, every day, and 7 days a week consisting of meat. Avoid cured meat. Hot dogs and cold cuts, these have a lot of substances in them that do not do a lot of good in your body, although arguably, since they're so full of preservatives, maybe they'll make you last longer. But the other thing is get some exercise during the week. I don't pretend to be an expert on everybody's health, but I have lived through some of these things. If you look on Facebook, by the way, for the Jeff Bushman Experience, you'll see one of my pictures. It's a goofy picture, but except for the gray fringe of hair, and I have a good deal of hair, except for the gray fringe of hair, I have relatively little gray. You can't tell that from the picture, but I'm telling you. Man, I'm in an age where a lot of people have no hair, men in particular. And those that do are mostly gray. Getting back to that report that I was telling you about, the fast food consumption by children, as said, affects their cognitive abilities and their ability to learn. They tend to do more poorly on academic exams. That's kind of important in school. I'm not saying, by the way, that fast food makes you stupid. Okay, it could be that the people who aren't that smart eat more fast food. I don't know. I'm not pretending to know that. But it's kind of like saying that if you want to be, you know, really not intelligent, you have to eat a lot of fast food or watch Fox News. Okay, that part wasn't in the study. I made that up. In any event, next week we'll be talking about whatever's in the news. We'll try to incorporate more of this week in history. I didn't give out the number. We only have a relatively few minutes left, but I suppose if you want to call in, you can. The phone number for calling in is 347-850-8702, but we'll end up having a really short conversation should you call in because we've got about 5 minutes left. After the first of the year, we're going to be adding a show each week. Right now, it's Sundays at 4:30 Mountain, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. After the first of the year, probably the first or second week, we're going to be adding another show. It'll still probably be called the Jeff Bushman Experience, but it'll be on a different day. And that program will be interviews with authors and other people so that, frankly, you don't have to just listen to me for half an hour, and which I will tell you is vastly more interesting to me And I hope and think you'll believe that as well. But anyway, next week we're going to talk about a topic in the news. The news today that we just heard, in case you're listening on another day, you probably have also heard that they lost another plane in Asia. Air Asia, traveling, I believe it was from Singapore to Indonesia, or it was the other way around, went off the radar and they lost contact with it. That happened early this morning or last night, depending on what part of the world you're in. This is the third airplane from that part of the world that has been lost this year. There was one that was shot down by either Russians or Ukrainian separatists. And then there was the other Malaysian airline they've still not found earlier this year, but is believed to be destroyed and somewhere in the Indian Ocean. But they've never found that or any of the bodies of any of those folks. So for what it's worth, this is the third one now. It's 162 people. It seems fairly obvious that those people are lost as well, unfortunately. And we will... I just want to say a couple of words real quick about Mayor de Blasio of New York and the police unions. The head of the New York Police Union, in addition to trying to get his members successfully, as it turns out, to turn their back on Bill de Blasio when he spoke, when he delivered a eulogy for the murdered police officers in New York this week. In addition to doing that, he was talking about blood being on the hands of Mayor de Blasio because of the fact that he had commented that he had given his son, Dante, who is of mixed race, the talk about how to behave around police and about how it can be dangerous if you don't behave a certain way around police if you're a person of color. This union head got all upset about that and said that Mayor de Blasio had thrown the police under the bus and all that. Is he nuts? How can you not think that being a male person of color in this country puts you at greater risk than you would be if you're a white male? Now, I'm a white male, but I frankly still behave around police if I'm stopped the same way I think I would advise a black male to behave, particularly a black young male. The reality is that the police, whether it's bias or apprehension or fear, they do treat male African Americans differently from the way in which they treat white people or even black women. This is a situation where the cops, for some reason, believe that they're in greater danger from the black kid, so they are more likely to draw their gun or do other things that will perhaps cost the life of that young person. And if my kid were of mixed race, or black, obviously, I would give that kid the same advice the mayor gave his kid. Is that saying something bad about the police? No. It's saying that some police are bad. And if you don't believe some police are bad, you're crazy. Anyway, most police aren't. But anyway, we're about out of time. I want to invite you back next week. You can write to us at tjbradio@gmail.com. You can join us next week at the times provided. Please take a look at bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. And we will see you next week here on the radio. And though you're going away and we'll miss you, first be kind to each other. And please don't go away mad. Good night, everybody.